Welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast with Dave Spadaro, Episode 2, and it's a busy one. The Eagles have signed a couple of players this week. They've been at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, scouting, getting ready for the 2016 NFL Draft. The Senior Bowl, a popular place for Eagles draft picks. Three of the six in 2015 participated in the Senior Bowl. Do you know who they are? We'll get to that in just a bit. A lot to get to in this podcast. We'll visit with offensive coordinator Frank Reich, who talks to us about his version of this offense. What will he and Doug Peterson and quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo put together? They call it a hybrid offense, a little bit of West Coast, a little bit of down the field, and a lot of variation. The voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, joins us to talk about the new coaching staff and his expectations for the 2016 season. Did you know that this is Merrill Reese's 40th season calling play-by-play for the Philadelphia Eagles? We've got some fan calls and, of course, a great moment from Eagles history. But first things first, let's get to the news of the week. The Eagles have signed a couple of players, more to come. They inked tight end Zach Ertz to a contract that keeps him in Philadelphia through the 2021 season. And then a couple of days later, Brent Celek agreeing to terms, a deal that keeps him an Eagle through 2018. Now, for Executive Vice President of Football Operations Howie Roseman, the goal is to keep as many of the core players as possible. And obviously, Ertz fits into that category. Celek, on the other hand, represents something different. Still a good player, still a solid veteran. He is a true Philadelphia Eagle. And Roseman from Mobile, Alabama, talked about what those two deals mean to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I think two different situations. Obviously, when you talk about Zach, a young player that we drafted on the come, has tremendous talent, tremendous work ethic, the type of player that we want to keep in Philly for a long time. And then on the other end, Brent Celek, you know, what he means to our football team, what he means to our organization on and off the field. In this league, it's so hard to find guys who can block at the point of attack, pass protect, separate, catch the ball, just a true Eagle. So just really excited for those guys and their families and for our coaching staff and our football team.
Ertz was a second-round draft pick in 2013 from Stanford, started his Eagles career slowly, and has really come on. His final month of the 2015 season, 450 yards, 30 catches. That's the best in NFL history for a tight end. And for Ertz, the business side of this offseason is done. He can concentrate on becoming a better football player, and he's got something rare in the NFL. He's got security.
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling. I think that, I mean, the most important thing is that I have the ability to stay in Philadelphia where I started my career. Hopefully I end my career here as well, and I'm really excited for the next 5 to 6 years.
Was it culture shock coming from the West Coast initially to Philadelphia?
Yeah, definitely. I think at first year we had the snow game in 2013, mm-hmm. and that was a shock. I never played in really terrible rain, and then finally playing terrible snow was kind of eye-opening, but I think it's toughened me up, and I love being in Philadelphia.
Zach, why do a deal rather than kind of wait until the market goes up and the dollars go up?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it both sides. I mean, in this sense, the deal was right for me and my family at this time. The risk of injury is paramount in the NFL. There's always risk for that, so I don't have to think about that. And now this offseason, there's no stress going into, hey, am I going to be in Philadelphia for the next 5 years? And ultimately, I feel very fortunate to do the deal that I did, and I couldn't be more happy.
Are you a lavish, I mean, you've got the beautiful suit, the beautiful Eagles green tie. Are you a lavish spender?
No. I've been raised the right way to focus on things that matter. It feels like any other day to me. The financial security is not the reason I play the game. I play the game for winning games and hopefully bringing a Super Bowl back to Philadelphia.
All right, let's talk about football and the Philadelphia Eagles, new coaching staff. I know you've met Doug. Does it feel like a new beginning here?
In a sense, I mean, I think there definitely is some familiarity. He did bring some coaches back, which I think will help as well, especially in my position. My tight ends coach is back, Justin Peel. So I'm really excited to continue to work with him and improve my game.
What has Justin been for you? What has he meant for you? I believe coaches are so important to players, and a good coach can make or break a player.
Yeah, he's been huge for me, especially in the blocking side of the game. As a tight end, you got to be able to block in this league, and he's put a huge emphasis on that aspect for me in particular, because the receiving stuff has come more naturally to me in the past. I thank him for the majority of my success on the blocking side of the ball here.
You think that's where the greatest improvement has been, rather than setting up routes and setting up defenders and catching the football?
I think I've improved that aspect as well, but I think the biggest jump that I've made in a player, and I think it was reflected in my playing time last year, was the improvements I've made as a blocking tight end.
Zach, in Kansas City with Doug Peterson's offense, Travis Kelce made the Pro Bowl. I mean, you've obviously been featured here. Do you have a sense of what is going to change for you with this offense?
I honestly have no idea. I haven't talked to Doug about any offensive strategies or anything like that. But all I know is I'm excited. They use Travis in a multitude of ways, and I'm really looking forward to it.
What do? They move him around the formation a lot?
Yeah, they moved him all over the place. They got him the ball in space, which as a player, you always want that ability to have and that option to have. And he's been a huge playmaker for them the past 2 years, and I'm really excited about how they're going to use me in this offense.
When you were a kid growing up watching this position, the tight end position, what it is from then to now? I mean, you're really a wide receiver, right? But you have to, with a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, technically, yeah. I mean, the receiving part of a tight end has definitely grown over the past 10 years. I mean, there were tight ends. Chad Lewis, he was a tight end that made the Pro Bowl with 40 catches. And I had 75 this year and not in the Pro Bowl, obviously. So I'm really excited about the future. The evolution of the tight end has grown a lot, and it's going to continue to grow.
What's next for you in terms of wanting to improve parts of your game?
Yeah, just being more consistent. Every aspect I can improve, that's how I'm going to go into this offseason and every offseason in particular, but just being more consistent. I had a few drops this year that I want to eliminate from my game. Totally, obviously, there's going to be one here and there, but I think I can improve that part of the game. And I mean, as a team, 7-9 is not acceptable in our eyes. So I think as a team, we're really excited about next year.
I know the question of quarterback is one that you've answered a million times. I got to ask you again, do you have a feel for what you would like to see happen with Sam?
Obviously, I want Sam back. He's an unbelievable person. He's an unbelievable player in my eyes. I think the chemistry I developed and Jordan kind of developed at the end of the year, as well as some of the other guys developed, could go a long way. But at the same time, I'm staying out of that. I have no idea what's going on with them, and whatever they decide is going to be the best decision for the team.
I realize today is a pit stop for you, Zach. I know you're not going to be here the whole offseason. Any big plans for the offseason?
I'm taking a little vacation this week. I'm going out to Mexico after this, but it was previously planned. So
I understand. we're not blowing the big money in Mexico.
And then I'm just going to be grinding in Northern California. I'm really excited about this offseason. There's no stress about my future or anything like that, and I'm really excited to be in Philadelphia.
Have you watched the playoffs?
I have painfully watched them.
Is it painful for you?
It is. I mean, honestly, you hope everybody loses. Obviously,
I feel the same way.
Obviously, there's going to be one winner.
And that will be?
I don't know. I mean, I've been picking against the Panthers every time. they're a good team. I mean, Luke Kuechly is probably the best defensive player, in my opinion, in the league right now that I've played against. But the Denver's defense is playing at another level. I haven't really played against them. I played against them as a rookie, but I didn't really play against them primarily. So it's going to be an unbelievable game, and I hope Peyton kind of gets one more for him.
Yeah.
And that's who I'm going with.
One of the all-time greats.
Exactly. Hey,
and you're going to be one of the all-time greats
exactly.
when it's all said and done
exactly.
here with the Philadelphia Eagles. Zach Ertz, a contract extension, keeps him an Eagle through 2021. We thank him for joining us.
Now let's talk about the Eagles' offense as a whole. Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator in San Diego for 2 years, a quarterback's coach there before that. He's known Doug Peterson since 1995, and through the years they've exchanged ideas, talking about what if one of them became a head coach. Could the two work together to create an offense? Well, they will do so. It's called a hybrid West Coast offense. And I don't really know what that means. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't know what a hybrid West Coast offense means. I'm going to look forward to seeing what that means along with you. But I had an opportunity to talk to Frank Reich about the offense, about the vision that both he and Peterson share. It's three questions with Frank Reich.
Welcome to Philadelphia, sir. How did you and Doug connect? How does this whole thing work?
Well, Doug and I were actually teammates a number of years back. And then through the years, just coaching against each other, particularly the last three in the same division. Long conversations before and after games. So, and of course, both having played the quarterback position,
right.
that's a real emotional and strong link as well.
Frank, what are the basic tenets in the Frank Reich way of playing offense? What are the basic tenets that work in NFL today as far as offense goes?
You want to be able to impose your will on the defense. To do that, that means you want to be able to run it when you want to run it and how you want to run it, and then you want to be able to throw it. You want to be able to set the tempo, whether that's fast or slowed down. So it's all about being able to dictate the tempo and impose your will on your opponent. But there are certain schematic things that Doug believes in, that I believe in, that we think our staff will work together. These are schematic things that we have very strong convictions about. You can't just say it's all about scheme and not take into factor what your players do well. But now you adapt to your personnel and their strengths.
You've called plays. What is the key to having success calling plays?
Good
play, that's right. Yeah, you really can't do much without good players.
It's hard, but you want to try to keep a defense off balance. You know, you got to have certain things you believe in. You got to know who your playmakers are. You got to be able to set up your playmakers. You got to be able to move things around, change your formation, change your personnel group, make it look a little bit different. This game is all about matchups and leverage. If I can get leverage, you got to be able to beat man coverage. How do we get our best players to have leverage and create a bigger window for the quarterback to throw the ball?
What a blessing. A life in the NFL.
Not bad. bad. Yeah. You know, and back home here in Philadelphia, yeah. You know, I'm here, grew up about an hour and a half from here, so happy to be back in Pennsylvania.
Still with family
with
Cedar Crest?
Cedar Crest High School, yes. Still family there, yeah. Wow. Grew up an Eagles fan. Was also my relatives on the west side of the state, too, so
Steelers, Eagles.
Yeah. But I was a really big Dr. J fan. Yeah. I was a huge Dr. J fan growing up and a huge Flyer fan, yeah. So was really into the Philly sports scene.
Welcome home.
Thank you.
Well, we hope there are a lot of highlights for the Eagles offense this season because we want to hear Mel Reese get excited in his 40th season broadcasting Philadelphia Eagles football. In this week's press coverage, Merrill discusses what else, the new coaching staff, and the Eagles' outlook for 2016.
We welcome in the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, the great Merrill Reese. And Merrill, you've had time to digest everything that has changed here in Philadelphia. Doug Peterson, the 23rd head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. We know most of the coaching staff, the names, we know most of them. Your reaction here with Doug as the head coach, Merrill?
Well, I think it's a great selection. I think that Doug is a very, very well-prepared guy to be a head coach. He knows his football. I've known Doug for over 16 years, and I've always been impressed with his passion for the game, how he studies the game, and I think he has a commanding presence, and he'll be a very, very strong leader.
Merrill, the jump from a coach who's relatively inexperienced in the NFL to head coach, it's a steep one. What are the challenges that Doug faces?
See, I don't think he's inexperienced in the NFL. You have to remember that he spent years as a quarterback, and he rubbed elbows with people like Don Shula and Dan Marino, and came through the first group with Andy Reid. And all of this time was spent learning about the NFL, learning about the different positions. Doug is a guy who absorbs information and loves to get his hands on as much information about this game as possible. So I don't think he's inexperienced at all. As a head coach, obviously, this is his first stop, but I think he's prepared. I think he's as prepared as anybody. Certainly, Andy Reid came here as a quarterback coach from the Packers and made a great transition, and I think Doug will do just as well in making the transition.
One of the keys for Andy Reid in 1999 was having the veteran presence of Jim Johnson as the defensive coordinator. It would appear to be a similar situation now with Jim Schwartz as the Eagles defensive coordinator. Merrill, how do you feel about Jim being here to run the defense?
Well, I have not met Jim, but I know his reputation. I know that he is a guy who has been a head coach and a defensive coordinator. His defense in Buffalo was very good. They were top five, I think, in yards given up, the least amount of yards given up, the fewest points given up. So he comes here with a very good reputation, and he has a fiery demeanor. He's a guy who can get on guys and get everybody riled up. I think he'll be an outstanding defensive coordinator.
Merrill, some questions that Doug will have to answer. Let's talk about them here. First, the quarterback position. Sam Bradford came on in 2015, played really well after coming back from the concussion and the shoulder injury. What in the world do the Eagles do with Sam Bradford?
In my opinion, Dave, they have to find a way to keep him, even if that means franchising him this year. That's how important this position is. Look at the teams getting ready to play in the various games and go to the Super Bowl. They all have top-notch quarterbacks. It would be very easy to say, well, you spread the money around, you get the different pieces, and then when you think you have what you need on the offensive line, and that the linebackers and your wide receivers are all in place, then add that final piece. It's easier said than done. The quarterbacks available in the draft this year, you look at them. You look at Paxton Lynch. You look at Jared Goff. You look at Carson Wentz. These are guys who, in another year, might not even be first-round picks because they each have question marks. There are no Marcus Mariotas out there. There are no Jameis Winstons out there this year. And who knows when there will be again, and who knows if the Eagles will be in the position to draft them. They have a quarterback who can be a franchise quarterback, who got better and better and better. He's got a great arm. He's bright. His teammates like and respect him. And he's still only 28. He's just heading into the prime years of his career. Quarterbacks generally don't play at their best until they're at least in their early 30s. I think it's imperative. I cannot use a stronger word that the Eagles find a way to keep Sam Bradford in the fold.
Let's talk about the offense and the other needs. As you see, obviously with Chip Kelly, the up-tempo offense, the numbers declined each year of his 3 years here. What do you see in terms of Doug Peterson and some of the areas that he must address offensively?
Well, I think the minute he puts on game tape, he's going to see that the offensive line is not good enough. It isn't good enough. You can start and say they have three pieces, and one is questionable. By that one, I'm talking about Jason Peters. Even though he's going to the Pro Bowl again, he is heading towards his mid-30s, and as well as he can play, he is in and out of the lineup. He had a lot of injury problems this year, and I don't know that you can really count on him for too much heading forward. So you've got to think about him. Do you move Lane Johnson over to the left tackle spot? Regardless, you still have to draft another tackle. You still have to draft guards. I think that is very, very important to beef up the offensive line. I think they need help at inside linebacker. I think it's great that Jordan Hicks had a terrific rookie year and is coming back. But otherwise, inside, there are major question marks. Of course, we were talking about question marks in a 30 defense. It seems more likely that under Jim Schwartz, even though he wouldn't say it, they will go with a four-man front and three linebackers. So maybe their need inside is not as great as it would be if you were playing a 30, but it's still an area that has to be addressed. And the wide receiver position has to be addressed also. Jordan Matthews had an outstanding year. We have to hope that they get the coaching with Greg Lewis that will put a Nelson Aguilar into the spotlight, because they drafted him because he's explosive and because he has the ability to break open a game. We did not see that this year. He has to take a big step forward, and they also have to bolster the depth of that wide receiver position.
Merrill, at running back, the Eagles have contractually committed themselves to DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews. We'll see what they do with Darren Sproles. I haven't given up the thought that both Matthews and Murray can be productive in the right kind of offense. Do you agree?
I do. I do agree. And you said we'll see what they do with Darren Sproles. I'd hate to see that guy move on, because he is a terrific player, and I haven't seen yet that he's lost a step. He had two return touchdowns this year, and he's done that now in back-to-back years. He is a big part of the success this team has had on special teams. So I think it's very important to have Darren Sproles back.
Merrill, is this a team that is going to have to rebuild, or do we give this a different term?
I don't like the term rebuild. I like the term improve. They have to improve. But when you look at the people on this roster right now, to me, no. When you have a defense that has people like Fletcher Cox and Connor Barwin and Jordan Hicks and Malcolm Jenkins, a guy by the name of Eric Rowe, who was a draft pick last year, who really looks special. Certainly, they have to get more out of Byron Maxwell than they got out last year with the price tag that he brings to this team. But there are plenty of people on defense right there to build around. Same with offense. We talk about the needs on the offensive line, but I think Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson are two players who can start almost any place. And I think that the two guys that you mentioned, both running backs, DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews, are excellent players. I would say that with a guy like Ryan Matthews, he has been injury prone, so he can't be your bell cow back week after week after week. You don't want him carrying the ball 20 to 25 times, but in tandem with DeMarco Murray, I think that's fine. I also have to point out that I think that this team is very solid at the tight end position. And Brent Celek has given this team a lot for a lot of years. And I think that Zach Ertz is a potential All-Pro.
Fair enough, Merrill. Good points. Merrill, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, Dave.
Time now for the fans to weigh in on everything happening with this football team. The phone lines are open. Let's hear what you have to say. Ryan from New Jersey, welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast with Dave Spadaro.
Hi, how are you?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. All right, I was just wondering, have you heard anything about re-signing Walter Thurman to a deal this offseason?
It is a great question. I think he's going to be tough to sign. My sense is that Walter is going to want to go out into the market and kind of get cornerback money, maybe. You know, he's been used, the way the Eagles used him last year was as a matchup safety in coverage, so not as a traditional safety. So I just think it's really hard to sign everyone, and the Eagles have a list of some key players. And again, we've gone through it, Vinnie Curry and Sam Bradford and Nolan Carroll, and now you add Walter Thurman as well. I think he'll be tough to sign. I think he looks at it and says, hey, I was healthy for the first time in my career. I'm going to go try to get paid. We'll see what the market bears for him. Would love to have him back. I thought he played really well last year.
Yep, that's just what I was thinking too.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Yep, thank you too.
Let's go all the way out to San Diego and talk to Scott. Scott wants to talk a little bit about the offensive line. Scott, welcome.
What up, guys? Basically, my question is Lane Johnson, I think, should be our left tackle going forward. And I mean, we tried to rebuild the line. Didn't work. What do you think is going to happen in this offseason? Do you think they're going to try to revamp it and make it a new system, get rid of, you know, basically everything that Chip did? Or do you think they're going to try to keep some of the core guys there and, you know, build?
I think you try to keep the core guys. Now, Jason Peters has a big cap number. He's getting up there in age. Yeah, really strong.
My main thing, what I'm suggesting.
I don't think you discard a talent like that. I think you bring him in. You see where he's at. You have a long conversation with him. You hope that you can get another good year out of him. Maybe you ask him to restructure, but I think you hope that Jason Peters can give you another year. You hope Lane Johnson can take another step forward. I didn't think he played particularly well at right tackle, at least as well. I really thought he was going to ascend in 2015 and become that Pro Bowl right tackle. It didn't happen. And what about in the middle with Jason Kelce? I mean, he kind of got figured out a little bit early in the season. So does he need to put on more weight? Will they play a little bit more power football? Certainly everybody agrees that they've got to get better at both guard positions. So I think the offensive line will be an emphasis. Doug Peterson has always been on teams that they run the football well. They ran the football extraordinarily well in Kansas City. They addressed the offensive line in the draft. Mitch Morse, a third round draft pick, became a starter at center. So I think it's a big focus. I think Jason Peters comes back, but I think the interior, the both guard positions, will really be an area to watch when this thing really starts kicking around in both free agency and in the draft.
All right, well, thank you for your answer, man.
Thank you very much for the phone call.
Have a good day.
You too. Let's go now to Justin in Pennsylvania. Justin, welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast with Dave Spadaro.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. How you doing?
Doing good.
What's on your mind?
I was wondering if the Eagles do transition to a 4-3 defense, what do you think that means for guys like Connor Barwin and D'Amico Ryans?
It means a lot of different responsibilities. For example, D'Amico Ryans would move back to the middle of the Eagles defense at that position. And I think we're all very realistic about D'Amico Ryans. Really an up and down season in 2015. I think it means that Connor Barwin could be used either as a strong side linebacker covering tight ends, and the Eagles haven't had a really good one there since, what, Carlos Emmons way back when, or he can put his hand on the ground and come out off the edge. Initially, if the Eagles can sign Vinnie Curry and they'd have Brandon Graham, Vinnie Curry, you might mix in a little bit of Connor Barwin, or you might use Barwin as that Sam linebacker. I like Barwin dropping into coverage and occasionally coming on the blitz. I think he could be really, really successful there.
Okay. Oh.
We welcome to the line Kevin from Niagara Falls, New York. Kevin, welcome to Eagles Live Podcast with Dave Spadaro.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask, do you guys think Doug Peterson's, the new Eagles head coach, talk about Sam Bradford is to up his trade value, or is he actually planning to keep Bradford? I saw Bradford play this year, and I think he played well. My only problem is he took a lot of sacks, but what do you guys think about that?
Well, thank you very much for the call, Kevin. I think there's no trade value with Sam Bradford. He's expected, or he's scheduled to be, an unrestricted free agent in March. I think it was an honest assessment from Doug on Tuesday about the way Sam played, and he spoke highly of Sam Bradford, who we all know came on strong at the end of the season in 2015. Now, what happens if the Eagles can franchise tag him? That would cost between $19 and $20 million. And the Eagles then could keep him for a year with that, or they can try to sign him to a long-term deal, which would be a difficult negotiation. There are some key free agents here for the Eagles, potentially. And they include Vinnie Curry on defense, Nolan Carroll on defense, and Sam Bradford on offense. And then what do you do with Fletcher Cox, who goes into the fifth year of his contract? You're looking to sign him long-term. I think the Sam Bradford decision is obviously the key one, the first real key one for Doug Peterson in his tenure as the Eagles head coach. Thanks so much for the call, Kevin.
Thanks, guys, and stay tuned to @DaveSpadaro on Twitter for our next live call-in period during the days before we air next Thursday's Eagles Live Podcast. Now we wrap up things here for the week with a great Eagles moment. We go back to 2005, January 23rd to be exact, the scene, Lincoln Financial Field, the day after a massive snowstorm paralyzed the city of Philadelphia. The Eagles got the stadium all cleaned up and then cleaned up on the Atlanta Falcons. A 27-10 victory sent the Eagles to Super Bowl 39 in Jacksonville, Florida. What a celebration it was for Eagles fans everywhere.
24 years we've been waiting. 24 long years, especially painful the last three, because the Eagles had reached the front door, needed a final push, and didn't get it. Is this the day when the Eagles take that final step and head to the NFL's biggest game? Play action. McNabb back, fires, and it is... No signal yet. Yes, touchdown to Chad Lewis. Chad Lewis in the corner of the end zone took it, and the officials took a long look before ruling that he was in and signaling for a touchdown. McNabb fakes, rolling, firing,
touchdown.
And it is complete to Chad Lewis for his second touchdown of the game. McNabb to Chad Lewis, and with 3:21 remaining, that could pretty much lock it up.
I'm getting that feeling.
When crunch time came, this team and this crowd snatched the game away from the Atlanta Falcons. They made the big plays. These fans who have suffered for so many years.
Absolutely.
Who have been through anguish over the past 3 years are finally going to have an opportunity to rejoice. 10 seconds. 9 seconds. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's go to Jacksonville.
And the best fans in the NFL, the fans who have suffered in anguish for so many years, have finally been rewarded by their great football team. The Eagles are headed for Jacksonville. The Eagles, for the first time in 24 years, are headed to the Super Bowl.
Next week, we're going to stay on top of what is shaping up to be a crazy busy Eagles offseason with signings, draft preparation, and a new coaching staff that we're going to get to know up close and personal. Thanks for joining me, Dave Spadaro, and have yourselves a great Eagles day.